www.thebridgeofchrist.com.
Well, again, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. Good. All right, that's better. That's better. Shh. All right. There's no football this weekend for anybody, so nobody can win, all right, or nobody can lose. All right, so here we go. Back in October, we did a series called Split, and you may remember that with all that was going on at the time in the world and with an election that was coming up, and there was seemed to be this kind of perfect storm brewing that had been brewing for a while. There were so many different political ideologies and candidate preferences and disagreements over world issues and the approach to COVID and all these things that were pretty intense. And as we talked, we did the split series because the reality is those things cause divisions, right? Those things divide people. And even among us as followers of Jesus, that was happening and still is very much something we need to battle against. And in that series, there were four important things that we covered. The first thing was this, that God desires unity, right? God desires unity. So as followers of Jesus, we're called to be of the same mind. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to agree on every issue and see everything the same way, but we're called to be of the same mind. Like, look, we have bigger fish to fry, so we need to be united over what's most important. We also talked about how Jesus is our identity. Right? Jesus is our identity. Like one of the things that they said back then was, look, at the end of the election, there will be winners and there will be losers, right? Because that's what elections are about. Someone wins, someone loses. And there would be people gloating because their candidate won the election. And there would be people angry and hurt because their candidate lost. And the reason there's so much hurt and anger and gloating is because oftentimes we tie our identity into the wrong things, right? As followers of Jesus, our identity needs to be found in and rooted in Jesus Christ, right? Not in secondary issues or worldly things, not in personality preferences, political parties, candidates, not in a banner, not in a badge, not in a mask, not in a flag, right? But only in the cross of Christ. Jesus is our identity. The third thing we talked about was that Scripture is our authority, right? Or at least it's supposed to be. Right? When it came to issues, and when it comes to issues that are on the forefront, things like marriage and sexuality, or social justice, or the sanctity of life, or alleviating poverty, there is no one party that endorses the Scripture's view of every issue. But as followers of Jesus, we need to look at what God has to say about each specific issue. Like, we don't take our cues from just our personal opinions or political platforms. When the Scriptures have something specific to say about it, that's where we take our cue. The Scripture is our authority. And fourth, the kingdom is our priority, right? Like, that's what we're supposed to be about. As followers of Jesus Christ, the society that we live in, this is it. But we are called to be holy, in other words, set apart and distinct from it. We've heard this many times before, but we're called to be in the world, not of the world, right? Whether it's whatever world system we're talking about, whether our country or another country, if it's the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, capitalism, democracy, the flag, anything along that lines, it's all part of an earthly system. It's an earthly system that is ultimately subject to the ruler of this world, the God of this age, and the power of the evil one. We don't live for an earthly kingdom, though. We live for the kingdom of God. So those are four things that we talked about that were important. You might be wondering, well, okay, like, all right, Eric, like the election is over now, and we're just all trying to move on. Why are you bringing this all up again? Well, because that's where the text takes us this morning. Right? That's where the text takes us this morning. And I know you may be thinking, ah, I knew I should have just slept in. Right? I should have just slept in. Why did I make it through the snow? Why did I get up? But honestly, I think the passage couldn't be more timely. Because if you look at how things have gone, just a little over a week ago, right, we have a new president and vice president. The balance of power has shifted in the Senate, and the House is aligned with them as well. So needless to say, there's going to be a fundamental shift in a lot of things that happen. Now, some people are going to be celebrating that shift, right? They're going to be glad that the country is finally headed in the quote-unquote right direction. Others are loathing that shift, right? A few people I've heard from have said, like, look, I'm gearing up because this is the beginning of the end. But look, even though things have changed, and, you know, maybe to use a little analogy, Cinderella's dancing with a different prince at the ball, right? All those same truths that we talked about back then apply the same today as they did before the election. God desires unity. Jesus is what is supposed to be our identity. The scriptures are our authority, and the kingdom, God's kingdom, is supposed to be our priority. Our hope can't be found in anything other than Jesus. It can't. So we need to not lose sight of what really matters. Amen? Right? You with me on this? Okay. We're going to pray before we dive into our text this morning. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, we pray that our hearts would be open to you. Pray that my own heart would be in the right place, that as I teach and speak this morning, that it would be a reflection of what is true according to your word. And God, where we need to be challenged, challenge us. Where we need to be encouraged, encourage us. Speak to our hearts and help us to remain open to you and to your word and what you have for us this morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are now to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 13 to 17 this morning. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, you are welcome to. If you want to follow along in a Bible app, that's great, but we will read the text for you as well. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13. And Peter writes, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." So this is our text for this morning, and in Peter's letter, he's turned a corner, right? He spent the first chapter and a little bit into the second chapter talking about who we are in Christ, and then starts to talk about how we can live in ways that proclaim the excellencies of God. So, in fact, that's the expectation of us as those who have been called out of darkness and into light. We are called to proclaim the excellencies of him who has done that for us. Now, in verses 11 and 12 that we looked at last week, he said two general things, right? Abstain from fleshly desires that wage war against your soul, a.k.a. sin, right? Stay away from that. And keep your conduct honorable. And then he says here, in the kind of first specific thing he's going to talk about, be subject to every human institution. In other words, authority, right? Every human institution or authority. And this is where we run into the S word, right? The S word. Some translations say be subject to, but others say submit. Submit. Now, the Greek word here means arranged under or to be placed or ranked under. It's kind of like a hierarchy, right? Like in a military, for example. But it includes the idea that you're expected to obey the one whose rank is higher than yours. So the first area we're supposed to submit ourselves to human institutions and authorities, Peter says. That's a way we can proclaim the excellencies of God. Now, as people who value freedom and independence, we don't like the idea of being controlled or submitting to anyone, right? We should be able to say what we want and do what we want because we have rights, We are free. No one can tell me how to live. I shouldn't have to submit to anyone or anything. Like, the word submit for us is almost like a dirty word in our vocabulary, isn't it? Here's the problem with that. It isn't biblical at all. Right? And if you think about it, our entire relationship with Jesus is one of submission. At least it's supposed to be. In order for us to come to Jesus, we have to come to the end of ourselves. We need to stop fighting and resisting him and surrender or submit to him. As you continue to walk with Jesus, you need to learn to submit to the values and ideals and teachings that he's given us. You have to be subject or submit yourself to the Word of God, right? The Word of God. For example, last week we heard all these multiple passages talking about good moves we can make and bad moves we can make when it comes to proclaiming his excellencies in the way we live. Well, as followers of Jesus, we are to submit to God's word. So the attitude of, well, no one can tell me how to live or what to do, is not a biblical one. Because at the very least, we need to first submit to Jesus. It starts there. But of course, that's not the end of it. And Peter writes, be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution. So part of what it looks like for us to submit to Jesus is to submit to our authorities. Now, a lot of people submit to authorities for the wrong reasons. Right? Some people do it out of fear. Right? They fear the implications if they don't go along. Others submit because authorities hold the same values and ideals as them, like they're on the same page. So yeah, I'll submit, it's easy. Others just don't want to rock the boat. But none of those things really should be our motive for submitting to human authorities or institutions. Our motive is to submit, as Peter says, for the sake of the Lord, for the Lord's sake. Now again, remember, we don't live for an earthly king or an earthly kingdom. However, submission to earthly authorities is like a tribute to God's authority over these human institutions. Like, our attitude towards authorities should probably be something like this. I submit to you, not for your sake, right? Not for your ego, not for your agenda, not for my sake even, but for the Lord's sake. Because God rules over you. He has raised you up for this season and given you leadership. So because God rules over you and he wants me to submit to you and honor you, that's the reason I do it. That's the reason I do it. Has nothing to do with fear. Has nothing to do with whether our ideals align. It has nothing to do with not wanting to rock the boat. We are to submit or be subject to these human authorities for Jesus' sake, Peter says. Because Jesus wants us to. Right? And so here's one key idea, and this is a little bigger than just the idea of submitting to authorities, but the one key idea that I hope we'll pull away from this morning is this. Be sure any action you take is done for the Lord's sake. Right? Be sure any action you take is done for the Lord's sake. Now, Peter makes a statement here, which also suggests, as it goes along, that there's a reason for these institutions and rulers to exist. So in a way, God is telling them how they're supposed to operate. They are here, verse 14 says, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Like, that's God's expectation of our human institutions and authorities. Punish evil, praise or reward good. Now, Peter mentions this briefly here, but as is often the case, Paul expands on this quite a bit in Romans, right? So Romans 13, if you want to turn there, but Romans 13, 1 through 7, says this, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? In other words, you want to not fear authorities? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So God has a purpose for these authorities, right? To punish evil and to reward good. And of course, God is the standard for what those things ought to be. Right? Now, do the rulers and governments always act in accordance with God's purposes? No. But we're supposed to submit anyway. So you're saying if we're supposed to submit even if we don't believe that the authority is ruling over us with godly wisdom? And I would say that Scripture says, well, in general, yes. Yeah. Now keep in mind, when Peter wrote this and when Paul wrote this, there was a string of emperors who were bad news for Christians. Right? And it was only getting worse. Persecution was ramping up and ramping up all the time. When the Holy Spirit prompted Peter to write these words, he was well aware that there were authorities who didn't represent the heart of God. In fact, Peter was killed by one of them, and so was Paul. Yet here in his word, he tells them, and consequently us, to submit to them. And to take it a step further, Paul also says we are to pray for them. Right? In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, he says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Now, when you hear this picture, you can almost see the hope behind the reason. Right? The hope is that by following Christ, by living lives which honor God, and consequently honor our authorities, even the bad ones, we will ultimately find favor and have great impact for the kingdom. Now, you might be skeptical of that. I understand. I'd be right with you on that sometimes. Be like, look, that's never going to work. And yet we read about things like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are among the captives in Babylon. Right? They didn't want to eat the king's food, but they respectfully asked that they could do something else. And ultimately, the way they treated themselves, the way they held themselves, they became highly respected by the king himself. That's the kind of approach that we're called to, even if the king or ruler is evil. Right? So our allegiance is to the Lord, but we willingly submit to their authority for the Lord's sake, that we might be an example before them that reflects the heart of our true king. Which is why it's so important, again, to that main point or main idea for today, to be sure that any action you take is done for the Lord's sake. Right? So then Peter, in verse 15, he says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Right? Like, do good, put their ignorance to silence. It's the same idea as what we talked about last week in 1 Peter 2:12. Which says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your deeds, your good deeds, and glorify God in the day of visitation. Right? So our good deeds will win others over. Our good deeds will silence their accusations. At least that's the hope. Now, will it always work? No. Again, it costs Peter and Paul their lives, and it costs many others their lives as well. But even if our good deeds don't accomplish these things, they ultimately will put our accusers to shame when they stand face to face before the Lord. Now, I need to say this. Will there be times that we have to choose to obey God rather than men? Yes. Will there be times and places that we need to stand up to injustices? Undoubtedly. But in general, as followers of Jesus, we're called to submit to our human authority. So, in either case, be sure that any action you take is done for the Lord's sake. So then Peter says in verse 17, we're going to skip one ahead, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Honor everyone. Now, that is generally referring to everyone, but again, in the context here, he's also been talking about those in authority, right? So like honor everyone in authority, kings, queens, presidents, governors, representatives, police officers, judges, city officials, board members, etc., right? In many cases, they have to make tough calls that none of us would ever really want to make. Whether you agree with them or not, honor them. Honor them. Then he says, love the brotherhood, right? So as followers of Jesus, we're called to love one another deeply. Fear God. Like, not in the sense of being afraid of God. If we love God, we don't have to be afraid of him, because love casts out fear, right? He loves us, we love him. We don't have to be afraid. However, we should be reverent. Fear him in reverence, because he is God. And then he says, honor the emperor. And I find it interesting that he says this specifically, because he just said honor everyone. And it kind of referred to like, well, honor everyone and everyone in authority. And he's been talking about this stuff, but now he specifically says, honor the emperor. And I try to think, like, why might he have said that specifically? Well, perhaps because when he tells them to honor everyone, their initial thought would be probably similar to what you and I might think towards leadership we don't believe in or we don't trust. Honor everyone? Even the emperor who's an evil man? Even this person who we don't trust? He says, honor the emperor. So yeah, Peter says that. See, the assumption here is that the emperor, who feels as though Christians are against him, would see that they are in fact for him. And the logic or the rationale would be this: why would the emperor come against those who honor him? Why would the emperor come against those who honor him despite the fact that he has past transgressions against them? He wouldn't. Or at least he shouldn't. But again, even if he does, which in this particular instance, he did, he still came against them, their good deeds would put him to shame when they came face to face with Jesus. Right? So it ultimately serves that purpose. Here's the last verse of the passage, but it's back in verse 16. He says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Right? Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants for God. So we're free in this world. Right? Christ has set us free for freedom. But Peter says that's not an excuse to live a sinful life. Right? The things of darkness, that's what Jesus gave his life to free us from. So don't use your freedom for Christ as a justification for rebellion and sinful behavior. Instead, use that freedom to serve him. And again, we're not ultimately subject to the rulers of this world or the authority in place over us in this life. Our authority is Jesus. He's the one we're subject to. He's made us free, but we should use that freedom to serve him. And yet here it says in his word, for his sake, we should submit to the authorities over us. Is that easy to do? No. It's not, right? But we strive to do it because Jesus wants us to. Submitting to authority, this is in the general picture, submitting to human institutions and the authorities is in the good moves category. Right? When we talk about things that proclaim the excellencies of God, there are good moves and there are bad moves. And Peter spends a good amount of time here, as did Paul in Romans, talking about how submitting to our authorities is in the good moves category. Right? Now we need to be sure, again, that any action that we take is going to be done for the Lord's sake. And this is one of those areas. I want to kind of close with a story this morning. Well, an example, maybe a little bit. And some of you might relate to this, maybe not. But there's a TV show that's been on for, I don't know, 7, 8 years at this point in time called The Blacklist. I don't know, maybe you've heard of it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because if I'm the only one, then I don't want to know that. But there's this show called The Blacklist, right? And in the show, I think we've got a picture, right? Raymond Reddington, James Spader at the back on the left there, he plays the character of Raymond Reddington. Now, Raymond Reddington is one of the most notorious criminals and is at the top of the FBI's most wanted list in this TV show. But at the very beginning of the whole series, he turns himself into the FBI and offers to help the FBI start to catch other notorious criminals on their top 100 list. Like, he's got the connections. He can help them get to them. He even helps them catch some people who have done more heinous things than those on their top 100 list that the FBI doesn't even know about, because he's pretty in the know of the underworld. Now, Reddington is one of those bad guys who you're supposed to hate, but you kind of love him, you know? Like, if you watch the show, you're like, yeah, you kind of like him. You probably shouldn't, but you do. And, you know, beneath every single one of his actions, everything he does, there's usually some self-centered motive that helps his own agenda, you know, that's going on. But one of my favorite characters in the show is Dembe, who's pictured on the right, in the front seat there, right? Now, Dembe, one of my favorite characters, he's a religiously devout man, not a Christian, but he's a religiously devout man who got kind of mixed up in this whole thing years and years ago with Raymond Reddington, and he works for Reddington as a bodyguard. But he cares deeply for the state of Reddington's soul. And he doesn't agree with many of the moves that Reddington makes, and he doesn't like most of the motives that are behind those moves. But throughout the show, he tries to maintain his faith, to be a light, to be a moral compass for Reddington, most of the time to no avail, all the while serving as Reddington's bodyguard. He does this because Dembe loves Raymond Reddington, even though he dislikes many of the things he's doing. Now, this analogy only goes so far, obviously, but I believe it's at least a little bit of a picture of how we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus in general. Right? Submit to every human institution. Keep your conduct honorable. Do what is right, but be sure any action you take is done for the Lord's sake. Right? Honor those in leadership over you, even when you disagree. Maybe especially when you disagree. Because the hope is that your love for them will win them over to Jesus. And I've got to point this out, that even as I'm saying this, this is not really something that we can do in just an individual sense. If you think about the leaders that are in authority over you personally and think, well, I don't ever encounter them. I don't ever connect with them. I'm never going to rub shoulders with them. I'll never have a direct conversation with them. So even if I honor them, it's not going to make a difference. But this isn't just a personal thing. This is a collective thing, right? He's writing to a group of people who are followers of Jesus. And as a group, collectively, it can make a difference. It may not happen. It may not even be likely. But that's the hope, and that's the call. Regardless, when it comes to our authorities, be sure any action you take is done for the Lord's sake. Right? Whereas Colossians 3:17, we'll close with this verse. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Right? Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, be sure any action you take is done for the Lord's sake. Let's close our time in prayer this morning, and then we've got just a few things to mention to you as we go. Heavenly Father, we all come to you this morning with hearts in different places regarding leadership, authority, and things like that. For some of us, it's very easy or easier to yield ourselves to your purpose in this area. For some of us, this is a tough one. You know, many of us have been affected in different ways by decisions that have been made by authority on all different kinds of level. Whether it's church authority or city leaders or government on the highest level or federal authorities, we all have been affected in various ways, and we all have different struggles. We know that as we hear this morning, that for some it might hit us really hard. For some, it might put up a brick wall, and maybe we've just let this passage bounce off of us. But we pray that you would allow us to be your servants. That we know we're free. You've freed us through what Christ has done for us. And yet we're to use our freedom to serve you. And in your word, you tell us to submit to our authorities. So where that's difficult for us to do, help us to do so. Where we need to make a stand against, help us to do so. Where we need to resist, help us to do so. But above all things, help us to be sure that every action we take is done for your sake, for your glory, for your purposes in this world. That our motives would be right, that our hearts would be pure. Lead us and guide us as we move forward into this next season. And again, help us to be mindful of the bigger picture, that you desire unity, that you desire for us to keep your kingdom our priority. We lift this before you. We pray for these things in both our weaknesses and our strengths. Lead us and guide us, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.